is I do want to pray for healing again, specifically for those of you. I know there's two of you that have problems with your feet or your ankles. If you could come up here and sit here. You have foot or ankle problems this morning. Come up here, and I'm going to ask you guys to come down. So we've got two. I don't know if there's anybody else. If you believe in healing and you want to pray this morning, come on down here to pray for them. That's y'all. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Come in front of them. Come behind them. Angel, I'm going to give you the anointing oil. I don't know if they want their shoes taken off, but if you feel like you need to anoint their wherever they're telling you there's pain, I want just you guys come down here. If you're not going to come down here, put your hand towards them. Just come and be praying for them, for physical illness. Ask them what we're going to do. You're going to ask them to briefly tell you where the pain is. Ask them what would be a manifestation of no more pain. You're going to pray for them. You're not going to ask Jesus to heal them. You're just going to say, be healed in Jesus' name. You're not going to beg and plead. And then if you hear something from the Lord to give them, you give that to them afterwards. All right? All right, go ahead and get started. Just flow off of each other. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Rise up our belief, our confidence in you, in your presence, in the supernatural, in the miraculous. Help us to be courageous to speak out, that the quiet of us would speak out and pray. Thank you, Father. Make sure you're praying so that they can hear you. Thank you, Father. Remember, you're saying, this is the word of the Lord. Pain be gone in Jesus' name. This is the word of the Lord. Sickness be gone in Jesus' name. Just pray that. You're going to pray that. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke sickness and disease off of this part of the body and name that part of the body. Declare peace into that body. You can declare peace from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Be descriptive in declaring peace. Stevie taught, I think, a year or so ago, a great message on the peace of God as a violent force that comes in and violently overthrows the lack of peace, the chaos within us. Pray the peace of God. Speak the peace of God. You don't ask Jesus to heal them. Say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Speak to their body parts. Speak to their life. If you hear the Lord telling you something, pray that over them. And then I want you to ask them, do this. Has any pain been released? And Judy and Krisha, don't say yes if there's been no pain released. There's a level of pain. I'm serious, because what we're doing, we're practicing walking in faith. We're practicing walking in faith. We're rising up our faith. We're adhering to Scripture as much as we would not want to murder somebody. That's how much we want to pray for those that are sick, because it's a biblical mandate for us. All right, so I want you to pray again. I want you to pray similarly in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, speak life into this foot or ankle, whatever it is. Then I want you to add something as you pray that. I want you to anchor in your own faith of who you are, that you're a daughter, you're a son of God. I want you to get a sense of confidence, of Scripture, of hope, of faith. You just need a little seed. Then activate it by speaking, in Jesus' name, be healed. And then if you feel led, just say, we bind up any work of the enemy that's in this physical ailment in Jesus' name. We bind it up in Jesus' name, and we cast it out of this building. We cast it out of this foot. We cast it out of this ankle in Jesus' name. that injury will not rob these women of a skip or a step or a dance. That it will not rob them of a night's sleep in Jesus' name. So pray those things. Repeat those things several times. Begin to build that connection with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit chooses to move through us, through the laying on of the hands, through our words that we declare. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then I just want you to ask them if they have any other pain in their body. I mean, most of us over 50 have pain in our body. And ask them if they have any other pain in their body, and then pray for them. Don't leave yet. Ask them if there's any. Okay, yeah, so there's not pain in your body. So just ask them if there's any other pain in their body, then just quickly pray for that in Jesus' name, that their bodies will be blessed, full of peace, full of joy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we just ask that we get a just a deep sense of the goodness that's meant to happen when we gather together, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's with our children, whether it's over a drink or over a meal, or if it's on Sunday morning, Father God, or if it's over during a festival, that your presence is available to us. If we will, you will. That you're not we're not waiting on you, but you are waiting on us to move into being your body, operating as your body, operating as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Thank you. You know, there's really not, you know, God's a good God, but there's really not supposed to be safety when we come together in Jesus' name. There's supposed to be relational safety, but there's not to be a that my demons are safe, or my illness is safe, or my sickness is safe. You wouldn't want somebody to come into your presence and their racism to be safe, right? You'd be, whoa, that's awful. You wouldn't want their hatred of women or their hatred of men to be safe. You'd want to come in and you want to bring them into healing. And that's what we want to do. We want to keep increasing our identity as the body of Christ. And there's healing in the body of Christ. There's healing in Jesus and the body of Christ. There's healing through communion. There's healing through our prayers individually. And there's healing together when we're here. That healing is meant to be relational, spiritual, mental, emotional, and financial healing. When we see in the book of Acts and they're eating meals together and they're giving their money together to each other in a certain way, that's a fullness of the gospel happening there. And we want to see that in and through us in our lives, all right? So we're in a series, a goal-setting vision series that I started 2 weeks ago, and it's just kind of a mashup this year of why goals are so important, but we're discovering or exploring why goal-setting and clarifying your vision for this year is important. And I want to read out of Proverbs 29:18 in three different translations. First is the King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. You will know that one. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Secondly, out of the American Standard Version, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. And then the Christian Standard Bible, where there is no vision, the people run wild. If you don't have a vision for your finances this year, you will take every bit of abundance you have and you will run wild with it. You'll buy too expensive of a car, you'll eat out too often, you'll buy clothes on credit, and you will perish. Your freedom, your financial freedom will perish. If you don't have a vision for your health, you will eat whatever you want, you will sleep in whenever you want, you will not work out, you will not take a walk, you will not take a concern about your diabetes, about your health, about your weight, okay? Without a vision, your physical body will perish. There's a lot of people, we can see young people that don't have vision. Now, we all have a vision for something. The problem is, some of our vision is, I just want to be left alone on the couch watching Netflix. That's a vision. It's a wrong vision. It's an anti-God's designed vision. Or I just want this in my life. We're to be visionary people. Now, everybody has a different size vision, but for my life, I am actually being a great man of faith when I say I have a vision of me having a better job with better hours that I love more in 2019. That's a vision. That's a godly vision. It's a godly vision to say, I want to be debt free at the end of 2019. It's a godly vision to say, I want to lose 30 or 40 or 50 or 15 pounds. That's a godly vision. It's a godly vision to say, I want to operate more heavily in the prophetic. But it's not more godly than saying, I'm going to say that. It's highly scriptural and it's a big time God thing to say, I want to see more people to get healed. But it is no bigger than saying, I want to walk in health in my own life. A vision of I want to see people get healed and a vision I want to walk in health in my own life, they're, in God's eyes, they're equally as awesome because He cares for the individual in the same way He cares for the large crowd. So when we have vision for our own life, my health prospers my family. Do you know that? My health prospers my family. When I have the flu, it puts a burden on my family. So if I had a long-term illness, it puts a burden on my family. My sickness, my disease, my poverty mentality is not a blessing to the world around me. It's not a blessing to my wife, to my child, to my son. It's not a blessing to people that I can help. So this idea of vision is really important, and then we know that we're supposed to have a vision and write a vision down. And a vision is simply, could be like this, I see myself as more full of joy this time next year. That's a vision. I see myself. It's a great way to take vision. What is vision? And to put it down. I see myself out of debt. That's a vision. It's a snapshot of the future. When I see myself 365 days from today, I want to be this much lighter. I want to have a good friend. I don't have enough good friends. From 1 year from today, I want to be in process at the very least of developing a lifelong friendship. That's a vision. Now, goals are, how will I get to that? If I'm saying I want to be in better health, then there's goals that I can say I'm going to lower my salt intake by so much. I'm going to learn how to cook. I'm going to eat out only once a week. I'm going to only drink a beer on Friday night and no other nights. Those are goals. Those are stepping stones to get you to the person you want to be. And I'm looking at Don back here. Now, Don has lost a lot of weight, and he's done it by walking and riding his bike, right? And he's done that, and he set a goal, and he just starts doing it. He starts watching what he eats, so he set a vision. I see myself at Victoria's wedding, you know, doing cartwheels down the, probably not cartwheels, but I see myself happy and present and showing up as I get older, not unhappy and concerned about myself. And so you begin to set goals or your stepping stones to how to get there. And finances and weight are the two easiest things to talk about, because finances and weight are actually the top two of the top three things everybody wants to change in their life. The third thing is relationships. So we have our health, we have our wealth, and we have our relationships, the HWR. And so it's important. Those are important to God. Your health, your finances, and your relationships are super important to God. In fact, anything that's important to you is probably important to God, I would think, on a high level. And so he honors those of us who say, I want my life to be different by this time next year. He likes it when we say, I declare that I want to see more people get healed. And he likes it even more when we say, so this year, I'm going to read a book a month for 12 months from healing evangelists, from people that believe in healing. I'm going to get a culture of belief shifted in my head. I'm going to become a learner and move in that direction. Or I'm going to go to healing events that are in the Houston area. Or I'm going to get me a small group in my home where every Tuesday night people know from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, I'm going to be praying for healing to be risen up. And if it's only me for a year, that's okay. I'm going to let my friends know I'm going to be praying for healing on this night. And I'm going to ask them, what do you need prayer for, physical or mental or emotional healing? So they're setting some goals. And goals, the goal is not the vision, is it? The vision isn't for us to meet together on Sunday mornings, is it? The vision is for God to be present, for our lives to be changing, for people to get healed physically, for demons to literally run out of people when they get close to our worship, when they get close to us, for sickness and disease to manifest in a way that it disappears because the kingdom is manifesting. That's the vision. That's the big thing. But the goal of coming together and practicing praying together, that's a goal that we do. So Stevie does his thing, Herman, you know, and I think I missed a little bit. I've been saying when Herman gives a word, when there's that word there, there's a moment there for you to say, I want some. Get it. There's always these moments, but these are like highlight up moments. I want to be added to. Get it. Be added to of whatever we're talking about. So when we're talking about vision and goals, I would hope that every one of you would go from here and say, This is what I want for this year. And that you would write it down. I see myself blank. I see myself happier. I see myself more exciting. I see myself more courageous. I see myself. And I'm going to give some time. And I'm going to give some energy. And I'm going to give some emotion to being better in this area. And this is what happens. When we say, I see myself being a kinder person, the angels go, yay. God's like, yes, I want to engage with that. And then as we start taking steps towards that, the enemy says no and wants to block that. And what we do is we have to keep walking when we don't see anything. We keep walking as a kinder person. We keep walking as a more courageous person, even though we still feel scared to death. But because we're visionary people, we have a place to go. I'm going into a promised life. There's a promised life for you. And the promised life is a vision. I did a short little 3-minute video on Facebook, and there's a promise and there's a plan. The plan part is the goal, or the goals of what will I do. So somebody tell me, somebody just shout out, I see myself blank, a vision statement for you personally. Huh? Health. I see myself healthier. I want to try another one. Anybody else? Say, name a color. You guys have no vision for this year? I want to remain exactly the same. I hope I'm 8 pounds heavier like the normal 50-something-year-old. I hope I'm $1,200 more in debt next year. And I hope I argue a bit more with my spouse. And I hope my children see me less this time next year. See, without a vision, that's what happens. We begin to decay. I want to really like get it important. We begin to decay. There's that state, that's a state of decay that we're in because we're in a wicked world. But with vision, we begin to get bigger and better and brighter. Sorry about that. More full of joy. All right. So health is an easier one. Full of joy. Perfect. I see myself full of joy. Now, and we would call that a soft goal. You're not saying, I want to make $1 million by next year, right? That's a hard goal. You know in your bank account if you made, let's say, $10,000. You know in your bank account. But how do you know if you're more full of joy? Well, and how do you get there? We know with finances, or we know with losing weight, there's strategic. That's called a soft goal. And a way to move towards a soft goal is a soft vision is to put some hard goals to it. So you're going to make some commitments. You make some commitments, some steps that says, I'm going to read every morning joyful psalms every morning. I'm going to listen to some really funny comedian stuff every weekend. Every Friday night, I'm going to listen to Jim Gaffigan. That's the cleanest, one of my favorite. I'm going to listen to Brian Reagan. These are clean guys. But that brings joy. That's scientifically proven to increase your joy level. All right. I'm going to declare a dozen scriptures every night before I go to bed out loud that says, I have the joy of the Lord. So you have three very easy things you can do, very easy steps. And it could be, if you're a reader, I'm going to read 6 books on the joy of the Lord. So you're going to take some hard goals and you set them in place and you're going to work them. Even when it feels like it's not working, you're going to work your goals to get there, even when you feel like they're not working. That's what we do financially. That's how you lose weight. You eat well. You lose a pound or two, if you're lucky that week. Over the weekend, you gain a pound or three. And you show up Monday and you're like, oh, this isn't working. But you believe your vision is right. You redo some steps. You keep your goals. And then by the end of that second week, you've lost that weight again. You go and you gain weight over the second weekend. You wake up Monday just the same, maybe a pound down in 2 weeks. And you lose a couple more pounds and you gain some. And you keep it up and it will happen. You are walked into your vision. How many of you think that God wants to partner with you when you say, I want to be a person more full of joy? I think it. I think he's like, finally, coming into agreement with heaven, I want that for you. How many of you think, I want to be a better parent? He's like, I don't want that. You're on your own if you want to be a better parent. You're on your own if you want to be a better spouse. You're on your own if you want to be a better human. Something happens when we say and we write it down. My suggestion is always have 3 or 4 areas where you're focused on with this vision, all right? And you can find some areas where you need vision. Any area that you're perishing, any area you're barely surviving, those are areas where you need vision. If you're just surviving in your relationship, you need vision. You're lacking vision. If you're just surviving in your health, if you just barely can get up, you can barely get home, you barely like being here, you need vision. Vision. And God's not super concerned about, hey, are you getting the 3 or 4 or 5 right things? So here's, I'm gonna share with this. This is what I'm thinking all the time. I haven't shared this. We put this up last year. I might teach on it next week. But on our webpage, it says the Journey Church is committed to moving people forward. My vision when I'm with anybody is to move them forward. If somebody says, man, I really want to be in ministry, I'm always like, I can help you get there. If somebody says, hey, you know what, I'm like in this conflict, I'm always like, I can move you maybe deeper into that conflict, but it'll move you forward better in a better way. I'm always thinking that. And here's it blown up a little bit more to move people forward into an experience with a good God. That's what this is for. Sunday morning, we come together to move people forward into an experience with a good God. Second part of moving people forward is move people into heavenly answers for earthly problems. So our vision is presence of God, but it's also seeking first the presence or the kingdom so these practical things can be taken care of. And we've talked some about that, and into being blessed in order to be a blessing. Because once you start moving into the things of God, once you start getting vision for being his kid in your way, in your skin, in your size, in your age, in your personality, once you start getting a vision for who you are in Christ, once you start getting that vision, you start putting some specific vision, not I love the world, but I want joy. Not, I think the world should be kinder, but I want to be kinder. Once you start getting that, then you start moving into where you start receiving the answers from heaven, and you start being able to overflow and be a blessing. You're blessed in order to be a blessing. So when we think about that at the journey, our first thing is experience with a good God. Not experience with a condemning God, not experience with a far away distant father figure God, not an experience with a God created the world, but then he got bored with us or tired of us or doesn't like us and he went back into heaven. He's waiting for us to work some things out, but a good God who's here and present with us. So that's the vision we have. Then we have these goals that we walk that out, how we do Sunday morning and things like that. So you can ask yourself these questions. And a couple things we talked last week. What do goals do for you spiritually? Well, goals create first. I'm going to just share this with you. They create life clarity. One of the number one most Googled things on Google is what's my purpose in life? And once you start having vision, you start defining more and more clearly who you are and how God wants to use you in this world. The second thing we talked about is goals give life action, and they prove our faith. So faith, saying God is a good God, but you have no action to it, is saying I don't really believe God is a good God. When you say God is a loving God, but you're not giving any love out, then you're saying I don't really believe that God's a loving God. When you say I love God, but you don't love your brother, you hate your brother, in fact, you're saying I really don't love God. So there's a proving that comes out. So when we have vision, if I ask you next Sunday, you know, Nate, give me three visions that you have, and you're like, if you say it's this, this, and this, then I know that you're having faith about what God wants to do through you. And you might not believe that God wants to do anything with you this year. You might believe that what you have is what you have and that's all you get. Then if you believe that, then you're believing a lie. And so you're operating out of that. So vision and goal setting is a really crucial thing for us. You don't have to go to the workshop we're having up in Montgomery. This is how I see myself. I see myself having more fun this year. I see myself as showing up to events and not being afraid this year. I see myself every time somebody says, my back hurts or my leg hurts or I'm afraid. I see myself as being the person saying, can I pray for you right now? Those are visions, and the Holy Spirit loves that. So I'm going to talk about the third and the fourth thing, the power of goals that partner with us spiritually. All right. So vision and goals are practical. Every salesman, did you have goals? Every salesman that I know of, they work vision and goals a lot. And so if you want to make X amount of dollars, you have to make X amount of phone calls. I know Dave Ramsey has Financial Peace University, but he has a whole bunch of units, and he has guys that want to make a certain amount of money. And so he knows that out of every 20-something phone calls, they get one sell of a certain price. So to make their commission, they need to make like 60 phone calls every single day, 5 days a week. So those are goals. So salesmen, all businesses have goals they need to set. I was talking to a guy the other day that needs $50,000 for his business every single month. And whenever there's too much rain or it's too cold or a festival doesn't go well and they drop down to $35,000 or $38,000, they're that much in the hole. Every store has a vision and goal of what they, and it's a financial. But for us, if we have that in our businesses, why not that in our life? At every age and every stage where we're at. So I might talk more on vision later, but this third thing is goals create proper boundaries. Without a vision, people perish. So without a vision gives us boundaries. So instead of saying, I love the whole world, we're saying, I love Tomball, Texas. You say, I love Tomball, Texas. I love people at Magnolia High School. I love people that come in through my classroom. And you limit it down to 80 or 90 or 100 teenagers. And then you say, as I am, the person that I am in the classes that I teach, how do I love these people intentionally so in a year from now I can say, holy smokes, God did so much. Not randomly God did some things, but he intentionally used my personality. So we goals begin to bring in the boundaries. And there's this thing I've taught each time I teach on goals. It says, a river without banks is a swamp. A river without boundaries is a swamp. A river, a life without boundaries is a mess. We have to have boundaries. And we, most of us, abide by the boundaries of the IRS. They take our taxes. We give them our taxes. We give our property taxes. We give our rent. We go to HEB. We don't steal from HEB. We don't live in a tent. We live with boundaries given to us by society. If we do that, and that is right, how much more powerful would it be if we gave ourselves boundaries? Every Tuesday night, I'm going to gather people in my home, and I'm going to believe that demons will flee from their lives. That's a boundary. It's a self-imposed boundary. It's like, I'll live my life in such a way that my time, my attention, my energy goes into this right here. Number one boundary we have is calendar. Your calendar's already dictated. I'm going to go to work. I got to leave at 7 o'clock to get there by 8. I'm going to have lunch at this time. I'm going to get off at 5. I'm going to drive home for 45 minutes. Your calendar already has given you some boundaries. But what if you, out of your desire of your heart, said, this night, every week, I'm going to do this. Every Tuesday night, I will do this. And I will invite a couple people to go do this with me, and I will bless them. Or every Saturday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do this. Or every Sunday, I'm going to walk into church, and this is who I will be to everybody around me. This is the gift I can give. And it might be laughter, it might be joy, it might be friendship, it might be shaking their hand, loving them, remembering their story, and saying, I've been praying for you all week, I'm so glad to see you. It's different for every one of us in here, but they create boundaries. So, but most of our boundaries are set by somebody else, or they're arbitrary that we carry down from what our parents and our upbringing gave us. But there's these intentional God things that I believe I'm designed for more, to live in this life, to see more people get healed, to see more people get set free, to see more people be prosperous, to see people be encouraged, to see depressed people have their hearts opened up and their minds opened up, to see lonely people not be lonely anymore. When we begin to decide, it's a powerful thing. And in this idea of boundaries, when you say I'm going to put in some boundary, when you say I want something, I'm going to put some boundaries in, you're actually determining what you're going to fight for. Because when you have these rivers, and especially down here in Livingston and stuff like that, and they're soft bank rivers. The Mississippi is that way, right? The Mississippi, have you ever been on a river and all the banks are always falling in? Because they're all soft. You go up to Colorado, you go up to Montana, and they're beautiful. You can see, 8 feet into the river, you can see the trout and stuff like that. And it's all what? It's all stone. It's all granite. It's all rock. It's all clear. The river's going somewhere. A lot of the rivers, all the rivers that are soft bank, you can't live near them very well, because they're in a cave, and you can't plant next to them. Nobody's going like, oh, I want to go river rafting down the Trinity River, because it's muddy, it's dingy, you don't know where the banks are going to go over a whole grove of trees. But you go to Colorado to river raft. There's something when we start determining, I'm going to like channel my energy, I'm going to channel my gifting, I'm going to start making some commitments that move me in, that put some boundaries. And boundaries make you feel uncomfortable. The law is a boundary. It makes you feel uncomfortable. Now, thou shalt not kill probably doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. I hope that doesn't make anybody feel uncomfortable. Wait, then we'll wait till that goes by. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 1:8, we know that the law is good. Did you know that the Bible says that? We're like, we're not under law. We know the law is good. The law has purposes. It gives us a boundary of how we live together. Aren't you glad, as irritated as you might be that there's a red light in front of you all the time, aren't you glad at the corner up here of a 249 and 2920 that there's some red lights that most people follow? And aren't you annoyed when you almost get hit because some guy breezes through a red light as your green is starting? You slam on your brakes and you're super scared. There's something about the law is good. And it says to finish this part of 1 Timothy, we know the law is good if one uses it properly. Boundaries are good if we use it properly. A boundary dictates where we're going. A boundary helps us know I'm out of bounds. I'm doing something that's not pleasing to the heart of God. That's what law says. But this is also what Scripture says. I'll share the Scripture later on. Is Scripture says that law has no power to help you not break the law. The law has no power to help you be a good person. It just points out where you're not a good person. So boundaries have no power to really take you where you want to go, but they're necessary to show you how to keep back getting it. Keep getting back in the river, to keep getting back in where God is taking you. And you've got to believe, I hope that just rises up, you've got to believe God is taking you somewhere, and it's better than you've ever been. It's better than you've ever been. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how good or bad your life has been. If you will begin to have vision of who, even if your vision is, who am I in Jesus' name? I'm full of joy, I'm full of courage, I'm full of peace. People aren't bothering me all the time, I don't have anger anymore. I have all of it now, but in the future, and you begin to go towards those things, super powerful. Now, in Joshua 1, I use that a lot, but Joshua 1 is a great boundary statement because it's the Lord says to Moses, the Lord says to Joshua, Moses is dead, here's your territory, and God points out to him, geographical territory, geographical boundaries from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You have a life. You have a promised life. You have a promised land. Your relationships that you're in right now are part of your promised life. This church is part of your promised life. To learn how to grow in it, to learn how to come down here and pray for people, to learn how to pray for people before and after, and if we have it right here, to learn how to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ, to learn how to love and pray for the stranger that comes in, to learn how to worship together, that's part of your promised life. Your job, your talent, your spiritual gifting, all part of your promised land, that there's a boundary line, and you are the ones that have to identify those boundary lines and with the Lord and say, these are my boundaries. This is how life and life more abundantly comes about, is when we have these boundaries. Now, I'm going to have Stevie come up here, and he's going to do an illustration with me. You got to get your guitar, Stevie. And now remember, I'm talking about boundaries. I'm talking about boundaries. Now goals and vision give us boundaries, okay? Everybody got that? Everybody's goals and vision. Come down here with me. Okay. Goals and vision give us boundaries. They give us some strength. They give us some determination. They give us protection. But they're not. They don't have to be arbitrary. They're not set up by religion. They're not set up by the world. They're set up by us. Choosing God's stuff, we set up boundaries. We set up goals, vision. This is our boundary. So can you just play one of the hallelujah, part of the hallelujah song? And sing one line. Okay. All right, now give me your guitar. No, I want to strap it on. Give me your whole guitar, okay. And I'm going to need your pick too.
Okay.
I have been practicing for years for this. Stevie's like, he doesn't know if he wants to do this.
Okay, here we go.
What were the words of the song? You stay up here because I want you to be embarrassed along with me, buddy. So, now we're talking about there's boundaries. But what happens is goals create boundaries, but goals also break down barriers. Because they reveal, the law reveals sin, the law reveals sickness and disease, but the law has no power. So there's a bound. Now Stevie stayed within boundaries. Singing hallelujah, singing hallelujah. That's pretty good, huh? Who's, thank you. But I want you to think about that. So we appreciate it when our mechanics follow boundaries, right? They're following code. We want a pilot
that zeroed in on the boundaries of flight. All right? We don't want to pilot, you know, our 747 flipping or going around. And the thing is that everybody that just heard that knows I follow no rules when it comes to music. I refuse to follow it, to be within, to be constrained with boundaries. And a lot of times we take that as a sense of pride, or we say, well, God will just move through me. Now, it is potentially possible that the Lord could light upon me and I could play as well as Stevie. If the Lord lit upon me, I'd play better than Stevie. I'd have the voices of an angel. But the Lord chooses to work within us choosing with him. I'm going to take that off. I feel super cool. Even though I sounded awful.
I think flip those, right?
But what it does is, so when we have a boundary, and you don't have to be musical to know that Stevie knew some chords. He knew how to sing a song. He knows how to lead. I don't. So what it does, it highlights what I don't know. If I want to be a musician, I have to have set up some boundaries, right? I have to learn chords. I have to learn how to strum. I have to learn how to hold a guitar. I have to learn how to sing. I have to learn how to lead. There's all these things I do. And most of us don't like to set even a small vision of, I want to lose 12 pounds this year, and here's how I'm going to do it. Because it highlights our inability to restrain ourselves from eating any food. People, it amazes me, the people who hate to be on a budget. Whether they make a little bit of money or they make a lot of money, it doesn't matter. We're all called at every level to be good stewards. And a good steward says, I will put boundaries on my money. I will know where my paycheck is going. Dave Ramsey says, I'll know where my paycheck is going instead of asking it where it's been. And we can apply that to this year. Will you look back this year and go, oh, it was kind of the same. It wasn't very exciting. Nothing really happened. What did God do? Well, he did these things. Or will you determine in advance, this is where I'm going. This is what the Lord wants to do. And I'm going to put some work and some calendar dates and some finances and some conversation going towards the things that God says. So goals, this is the fourth one. Goals break down barriers, but not until they expose barriers. Have you ever tried to stop? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever tried to stop cussing? Some of you are like, I was going to say something funny, but it included like saying something like I probably shouldn't say. Think about that. As soon as you try to stop something, you become super aware that you're trying to stop that thing. If you go to a party and you drink a lot at a party, but then you go all for like 3 months and every party you go to, you're deciding you're not going to drink at all. You're super aware of everything everybody's drinking and it looks awesome now. It's like when you decide I'm going to fast, bread was just bread. Sugar was just sugar. But you decide to put some boundaries on yourself for a week, and all of a sudden, bread is the most incredible thing in the world. Sugar, I need a cookie. Even if I don't like that cookie, I need that cookie. It's not right I don't get that cookie. So law points out our inability to go where our heart wants to go. But we need it anyways. We need vision and goals because it helps us begin to determine what are my barriers and where do I need Holy Spirit to move me forward. It says here in Romans 8:3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son. It's an important thing to remember. Now, have you ever gone to a doctor? You're just going for your annual checkup. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's somebody you knew. And then within 2 or 3 minutes, they're told they have liver cancer or lung cancer. So you go for one legal one test, one scientific, has no emotion to it, and one thing, all of a sudden your whole life is shifted around, right? You do that when you're pregnant. You're like, Cresha went in for a checkup. She wasn't feeling well, and it's like she's pregnant. We had no idea. So there's something that turns. And what happens is that the law points out that you have cancer. But the test, and the MRI and the CAT scan has no power to heal you of that cancer, right? So we need certain things to highlight to us. Like we don't have, we continue to be in debt. That's highlighting to us a problem. We continuously be fatigued in our day, or we're overweight, or our relationships aren't good. That's highlighting to us. But the highlight of the pain of our bad relationship has no power to change us. What changes us is the Holy Spirit. And when we set vision and when we set goals, we begin to move in to what Holy Spirit wants for us. The simple act of setting a goal, saying, I want more joy. I want greater abundance. I want to skip and dance my way into my 60s, into my 70s, into my 80s. I want to be like Caleb and be strong and not miss a step, to be strong of step, to be clear of eyes. That's a goal. That's a vision. The Holy Spirit says, yes, I want that for you. And that's why we set goals, and those setting goals expose and break down those barriers, but they're necessary for us not to atrophy, for us not to die, for us not to... When you read the amount of muscle you lose when you hit 30-something, every year you lose a small percentage of muscle. Every year you lose even a even more percentage of your elasticity or your agility in your body. And if you don't work within a boundary of your age and your season, you soon lose who you were created to be moving into your old age. And I want you to be writing down some goals. I want you to be writing down, I want more joy. I want more ministry opportunity. I want everyone to write on your list, I want to see more people get set free and healed in Jesus' name. And when you say that, you say, and I want to be a part of it. And then what is my part of that? I want that. So I'm going to end with this. Oh, by the way, anytime law shows you a barrier, It's awesome, because we're not like, oh, I'm a loser because there's a barrier. There's nowhere. It's like, oh, there's a barrier. That means breakthrough's coming. If we never set vision, if we never set goals, we may never see the barrier. We may never see the cancer. We may never see the pride. We may never see the laziness. We may never see that. So we're thankful when we see laziness. We're thankful when we see pride. We're like, oh, there's pride there, and the Lord wants to take that away from me and heal me of that. There's wrong thinking there. So we're like, oh, that's awesome, because wherever there's barriers exposed, there's breakthrough promised, okay? Wherever there's barriers exposed, there's breakthrough promised. So I want to end with these two questions. And one is the big one. What do you believe God wants to do in the world this year? Just generally, what do you want to believe God is doing in the world this year? I could probably ask you, and you could probably tell me what you don't like about the world, but that doesn't help anything. You've probably had conversations like I have. You agree with people about what you don't like in the world, and we feel smart about that. But what about asking the Lord, what do you see for this next year? What do you want me to believe with you? But then specifically, to make it really small, what do you believe God wants to do in you this year? And maybe there's three or four things. Maybe there's joy. Maybe there's finances. Maybe there's a specific relationship. What if you said, I see myself being more joyful. I see myself being a more loving spouse. And I see myself having more energy when I get home on Thursday night or Friday night at the end of my week. What if those three things, you begin to partner with the Lord? What goals do you want me to set to go in that? And I hope you can ask and answer that question. What do you believe God wants to do in and through you this year? Because whatever he wants to do through you, he wants to first do in you. And whatever he's doing in you, he's doing for you. So it's really, God, what do you want to do for me? He's not asking us to do something separate of the health that's in our heart. When he says, I want more joy for you out here so people can see it, he says, I want to give that to you, I want to give it through you, and I want to give it to others, people, because of you. It's an awesome thing. So whenever we're having vision, it's vision for ourselves, but it's always overflowing in our blessing to other people around us. Just go ahead and stand up. Look at the person next to you, put your hand on their shoulder or something like that. Say, I want you to have deep, strong vision this year. I want you to have deep, strong vision this year. Look at them in the eye and say, you are a visionary person. You can look at them in the eye and say, you can set goals and you can break goals and you can make goals. Just go ahead and I'm gonna pray, but I want you to like declare as I'm praying. You can close your eyes, you keep them. I want you to declare along with what I'm declaring. So in Jesus' name, we just declare vision over our brothers and sisters in Christ here. Just begin to declare that. We declare vision in Jesus' name over our brother and sister in Christ. We declare hope in Jesus' name and our brother and sister in Christ. And every area where there is no hope in their mind or in their life, expose the lie that says there's nothing to hope for. Wherever there's no vision, expose the lie that says there can't be a vision in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare vision, clarification, and goal setting in each person's life in Jesus' name. That this time next year, things will be different because of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, all right. God bless you guys.